you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. I'll give you a moment to get there. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23. Would you stand with me as we read from God's word this morning? And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with blast of trumpets, a holy convocation." A memorial proclaimed with the blast of trumpets, a holy convocation. Now, I haven't practiced in a while, so hopefully this won't sound too bad. That could have been much better, but that's all right. Tonight, at sundown, begins a very special day on God's calendar.
That's right.
It's the biblical New Year. Happy New Year, everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, you might say, wait a minute, New Year's comes January 1st, not on God's calendar, not on the biblical calendar. That starts tonight. Rosh Hashanah. It floats on our Gregorian calendar, and it usually falls in the month of September. On the biblical calendar, it falls on the first day of the Hebrew month of Tishri. And this day has several names. It's known as the Day of the Awakening Blast. And the trumpet, the shofar sounds. Can you imagine being asleep and someone walking up to you and making that maybe terrible squawking sound or a nice loud trumpet blast? It would wake you up. It's known as Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. And again, on this day, there is a mighty shofar or trumpet that is sounded. It was sounded in biblical times. And what is it that is so special about New Year's Day in the Bible? Well, Jewish tradition holds that this was the day when Adam was created. The first man was created. Evidence suggests that this was the day when the last Adam, Yeshua, Jesus, was born, rather than on December 25th, when we typically celebrate the birth of Messiah. And prophetically, and this is the big one, prophetically, this is the day when Yeshua Jesus will return to the earth with a mighty trumpet blast, when the dead in Christ will arise, as Paul says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God," 1 Thessalonians 4. And so if you can imagine on some future day, the trumpet of God will sound, the shofar of God will sound, and it will shake the earth, and the heavens will be rolled back like a scroll. And the Lord shall descend from heaven above, and with him the armies of heaven will ride. Amen. Revelation 19, starting in verse 11, says, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings."
Amen.
"And Lord of Lords."
Amen.
You see, this is a very significant day that starts tonight at sundown. It's a very significant day on God's calendar. For us here on earth who await the return of the Lord, it carries great weight and is a reminder for the bride, the church, to be ready for our groom to appear. The trumpet or shofar, as it would be known to the Israelites, was not typically a trumpet as we think of a trumpet, but a ram's horn most often. It was used to sound a loud call that could be heard over great distances to gather the people together. It was used to, for many purposes, to warn of a coming attack. It was used to call out to men in the days of teshuva, of repentance, to call men to repent of their sins. Now, there were special ceremonial silver trumpets that were also used. But typically, when the Bible speaks of a trumpet, it speaks of a ram's horn, a shofar. And the story of the shofar goes all the way back to Abraham and a place called Mount Moriah. Abraham was called by God to leave his home, to even leave his family, to leave behind the false gods that they had worshipped and go to a land that God would show him. He was promised this great nation that would come through him, even though he was barren, him and his wife Sarah. And you may know the story. Abraham and his wife Sarah, again, they were barren until they were 190 years old, respectively, and God gave them a son, Isaac, the son of promise, the son that they had waited a whole century for. Then God commanded Abraham to take Isaac to a place, this mountain called Moriah. And there he was to lay Isaac, the son that he had been promised, the son that he had waited for so many years, to lay him on an altar and sacrifice him to God. And Abraham obeyed, and he took Isaac to the mountain, and he laid him on the altar. And just as he was prepared to sacrifice him, an angel of the Lord cried out and stopped Abraham. And he said, it was a test. God knows now that you won't even spare your own son. And there in the thickets and the bushes was a ram that was caught. And Abraham, as he had said earlier, God would provide a sacrifice. God provided a sacrifice. Amen. And Abraham took that ram, a ram that saved the son of Abraham. And he laid it on the altar, and in Isaac's place he sacrificed it. The Jewish rabbis say that God had a special place in his heart for the ram that saved the son of Abraham. And they have a tradition that says that the Lord took the horns from that ram, and he fashioned an instrument by which he would announce his presence. And while it may or may not be true that the Lord actually did that, the essence of the rabbinic teaching is true. The Lord announces his presence through the shofar. After the Exodus, when the Lord brought the people up out of Egypt, they came to a mountain called Sinai. There, God met with Israel as a nation for the very first time and gave them the Ten Commandments. And we read of the Lord in that meeting when he came down out of heaven and sat atop Mount Sinai. It says, on the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. See, God announced his presence with the sound of the trumpet. It called the people to him. This in the Old Testament times and in Judaism is known as the first trumpet. It was the first time that God announced his presence with a trumpet. And the trumpet, though, that is sounded on Yom Teruah, or the Feast of Trumpets, which again begins tonight, is known as the last trump. At the sound of the last trump, the trumpet of God, it will announce the arrival of a Messiah once again. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and Paul says at the last trumpet, this trumpet that is sounded tonight, For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. Hallelujah. Matthew 24. Jesus speaks of the tribulation, and he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. For those of you who know the Bible, think of all the times a trumpet or shofar had great significance. We read of the power of God being manifested in the days at Jericho. At the sound of the trumpet, the Israelites, they marched silently around that wicked city for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they marched around seven times. And the walls of Jericho fell flat as the people lifted up a mighty shout. And the priests sounded the shofar, the trumpet. It announced that God was with the people, that God's power was mighty and magnificent. Think of Gideon, another example of the power of the trumpet. Israel was under attack by the Midianites. God had given Gideon just 300 soldiers to work with. And he instructed Gideon to give them a trumpet, a torch to carry, and a clay pitcher to hide the torch under. And at the right moment, when the trumpets were sounded, 120,000 Midianites fled and slew each other in their confusion. And surely the Lord was with Israel that day when the trumpet sounded. Throughout the Old Testament, the trumpet announced the crowning of a king. And again, one day it shall announce the arrival of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Nehemiah's day, it rallied the people together to defend the city. In Revelation, we find that the voice of God sounds like a trumpet, clear, loud, earth-shaking, and awakening men to their need for repentance as the shofar does in the days of teshuvah or repentance. And so the first thing you have to see here is, number one, Jesus is coming again.
That's right.
Do you believe it? He's coming again. And the trumpet, it announces his presence. It announces his arrival and that his power, his presence is with us. But it also speaks to new beginnings. How many of you believe God is a God of new beginnings?
Yes, he is.
Shofar brought in the new year. Think of it. When we celebrate New Year, we have those little paper-like things that make noise. We all watch the ball count down in Times Square, and we all go, or whatever it sounds like. It's amazing how things filter down through cultures that actually come from God. Because the shofar announced that the new year has begun. It's a new beginning. If the rabbis are correct, it was a time of new beginning in eternity because man was created on this day. A new nation was formed in covenant with God at Mount Sinai at the sounding of the shofar. Likewise, it's a time of new life because at the sounding of the last trump, the dead in Christ will rise to new life, and we will all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. The ultimate new beginning is in Jesus' return. This will signal a new age on the earth. It will be a time of new government, as the scriptures prophesy that the government shall be upon what?
His
shoulders. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Yeshua Jesus will reign as king over the earth, and he will enforce peace as the Prince of Peace. Many, many people miss that eternity will not be spent in some spiritual heaven, but it will be spent here on the earth as the Lord has promised what? He will make a new heaven and a new earth. And it is on this new earth that he will dwell with man, and he will be our God. So the shofar, it signals a new beginning. We often use New Year's Day as a day to declare that things are going to be different in the future. This is the day I'm starting my diet and I'm going to get skinny. And that lasts to like, I don't know, January 2nd, right? We declare things are new, things are going to be different. And it rarely works out for us here on earth, but with Jesus, you can have a new beginning. Amen. When we accept him as Lord and Savior, it's a fresh start. What did Jesus say? To enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. In Christ, we are a new creation. It's all wiped away. The past is gone. It's a new, fresh start. And so the shofar announces this new beginning because God is now present in our lives. And let me tell you, you don't have to wait till New Year's to have that. Amen. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. We need, at whatever point, we recognize that we are a sinner and that God, Jesus, is the Savior. We need to come to him and get our fresh start. Amen. But this day reminds us of those things. When God enters the picture, the old is washed away and all things are made new. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing, and now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Oh. You see, God desires to do a new thing in you. He will make a way where there is no way, and he will cause rivers of living water to spring up in the desert of your life if you will allow him. Revelation 21:5 says, "And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." And so God wants to bring us new life, to make things new, cause you to forget the former life of pain and sin and sorrow. God, again, is a God of new beginnings. He is the God of second chances. Not only is he the God of second chances, but third and fourth and fifth and sixth and on and on. Amen, and on. Amen. Samson and Peter and Jonah and David and Solomon, and over again, we see his mercy and grace. It restores and forgives. It delivers and redeems. And just as he did for those men, he can do for you and I. Amen. Yes. There is no God like our God, the God of mercy, the God of grace, a God of patience. Peter says he is patient with mankind because he doesn't wish for any to be lost. And so the trumpet calls us to a new beginning, as one of the themes of the Feast of Trumpets is repentance. God said in Isaiah through the prophet, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." That term, "come now, let us reason together," it's a legal term. I've taught you this before. It's like the Lord is saying, "Come on, I'm going to go to court with you, and I'm going to stand with you as if I am guilty, and I'm going to pay the price for what you've done." So as the shofar sounds this morning, it is a reminder that you have been extended another chance by the Lord. Let us use that chance wisely. Amen? Amen. Where does our new beginning come from? From a repentant heart. You see, the shofar blast again is a call to repent. Revelation 1, starting in verse 10, it says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, saying, Write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches." I hope not to butcher these names too bad. "To Ephesus and to Smyrna, to Pergamum and to Thracia and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands was one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. This man was the Lord Jesus. His voice like a trumpet. He then goes on to call these 7 churches in the next 3 chapters to repentance. His cry is repent, repent, repent. I know the good things you have done, but there are things that we need to take care of, and so repent. Joel 2 says, yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Amen. See, the Lord is patient with mankind. And he is simply waiting on us to return to him. And when we do, he returns to us. He brings that new beginning you have been longing for. But this beginning comes as we bend our hearts before him in repentance. For those of you who have been here through the years, I have taught you the significance of biblical holidays and how God works through the themes of the day. And today is a day of new beginnings for you and for me. Today is a day when the failures of the past can be washed away and you can start anew. It's a day, it's a time for new things and new ventures to be entered into. It's a time certainly to seek God and repent of our sins, which again is where our new beginning comes from. Amen. From the blood of Jesus washing away the old self and bringing new life to us. Some may need to experience this for the first time. Others of us may need a refreshing, a renewal, a time of returning to God. And the Lord offers this chance to us. Seek him while he may be found. But there is another promise connected to the sounding of the trumpet. And that is to be remembered before the Lord our God. In the book of Numbers, we find the Lord instructing that 2 silver trumpets were to be created. It is believed that these silver trumpets were the long traditional type trumpets of old rather than the shofar, but the principle remains the same for them both. Numbers 10 says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, make 2 silver trumpets of hammered work, you shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation. Verse 8, and the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall blow the trumpets. The trumpets shall be to you for a perpetual statute throughout your generations. Means you're supposed to do this year after year after year. Never stop doing this. And when you go to war in your land against the adversary who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God. And you shall be saved from your enemies on the day of your gladness also. And at your appointed feast and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpet over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. They shall be a reminder of you before your Lord. I am the Lord your God. So the final thing I want to focus on is that the trumpet blast reminds the Lord of his people. God said to sound the trumpets so that you may be remembered before the Lord your God, and that the shofar and trumpets would be a reminder of you before your God. And the first time we get in the Bible, we see God remembering someone is in Genesis 8, as Noah and his family were in the ark because of the flood. As the waters flooded the earth, the ark was tossed to and fro in the storm day after day, night after night, month after month. They waited. It was 40 nights of rain. Then another 150 days, they floated on the waters until the ark came to rest at Mount Ararat. And it must have seemed as if God had forgotten them. But Genesis 8:1 says, but God remembered Noah.
Amen.
In Hebrew, the word remembered is zakar. It's a verb, an action word, meaning to recall something, to remember, to call it to mind, for it to be present in thought. God remembered his promise to Noah. Doesn't mean God forgot his promise. Rather, it serves to announce that the promise of the Lord was about to be fulfilled. It was now time for God to act. Waiting in the ark must have seemed like an eternity. And sometimes we have to wait. How many of you want God to do something right now?
Amen.
I want it right now, God. I don't want to have to wait. And God says, I got it, but it's going to be a while. You know, I wonder how many of us would say, I want Jesus to return tonight. I want it right now. And God says, a little bit longer, a few more years. The time is not right. Noah and his family were kept waiting because not because God was cruel to them, but rather because it was not safe outside the ark. It was God's mercy and grace that kept them waiting in the ark so that they would be saved from the water. But God remembered his people and he acted. Genesis 30, verse 22. Then God remembered Rachel. And God listened to her and opened her womb. She'd been waiting. She'd been crying at the temple for year after year after year, asking God for a child. And the Bible says God remembered her, and she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. Excuse me, that was Hannah. That was a different woman, but same thing. I'll get to Hannah in a moment. God remembered Rachel. With great heartbreak, Rachel had watched over all. She'd watched the other wives of Jacob bear him children while she remained barren. But God was not deaf to her pleas, and he remembered her to Rachel, the true love of Jacob. God gave Joseph, the son who would save them all. Not only did the Lord remove her reproach as the only wife who had not borne her husband a child, but in the end, God gave to Rachel the child he gave to Rachel became the savior of the family. Amen. God remembered her. Genesis 42:9, and Joseph remembered the dreams that he had dreamed. Some of us are the ones that need to remember. How many of you, sometime in the past, God gave you a dream? Through the years, how many of you have forgotten that dream? What God has promised. It's a time for us to remember. Joseph, after so many years, remembered the dreams that God had given him. If you once had a dream from God, then let the sounding of the shofar awake that vision once again in you. And let us cry out to God to bring past the dream he has given you in the coming year. Now we get to Hannah. 1 Samuel 1:9 says, they arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. She was the one that kept crying out to God at the temple, and God remembered her. Once again, we find a woman who had long cried out to the Lord for a child. And at the right moment, the Lord remembered her and her cry. The church is described as the bride of Christ. How many of you have been praying for spiritual children to be born to us?
Amen.
We've been crying out, God, bring in the lost. God, save the lost. In this new biblical year, let us pray that God will remember our cry for spiritual children. Abraham, Rachel, Noah, Hannah, Israel in its captivity. Over and over again in the Bible, we read of God remembering his people. We sang it earlier. Remember your people. Remember your promise, O God.
Yes.
Seems a funny thing, perhaps, that the Lord would need to be reminded of his people, for he forgets nothing. Amen. To remember someone or to remember a promise is not simply to have a thing called to mind. As it is with all Jewish and biblical things, to remember is to act. And again, as I have taught you over and over again, to love someone is not an emotion, it is an act. God loved us, and because God loved us, what did he do?
He sent his
only begotten son to die on the cross. He saw us in our need. He saw us in our sin. He saw us in the lost condition we were in. And because he loved us, he acted.
Right.
And so it is with remembering. To remember is to act based on a promise. It is not that God has forgotten and must be reminded, but the trumpet blast is a call for God to act. So the Lord hears the cry of his people, and he remembers. And when he is reminded, when we remind him of his promise, when we sound the trumpet, the Bible says God will remember his people. He will remember all the ways we have been faithful and return faithfulness to us. He will see our weakness and return strength to us. When we cry out, he will come and fight against the enemy on our behalf.
Amen.
When he remembers, he will bring the long-awaited answer to prayer. He will hear the pleas of mercy and wash away sins. And so we have sounded the shofar this morning that God will be moved to action on our behalf. How many of you have a loved one you want to see come to
Amen.
The Lord?
Amen.
How many of you want to see friends that you want saved? How many of you are burdened for our community and the lost?
Amen.
Then we cry out to God today.
Yes.
We say, remember your promise, oh
Amen.
God.
Yes.
Remember your promise. Fill every seat in this place with lost who have been found. Fill every church in this place that teaches the true word of God to overflowing God.
Amen.
And bring about revival.
Yes.
Yes.
The shofar announces the Lord is here. It proclaims a new beginning in the Messiah for all who receive him. The shofar calls us again to repent and receive that new beginning. The shofar calls out to the Lord to remember his people. Lord, we pray that you would remember your people today and that you would hear our prayers as we cry out to you. Remember the sacrifices and the good works we have done in your name, and may you cause them to bear fruit.
Amen.
Amen.
Remember all the seeds that we have planted. Cause them to find good soil and water them with your Holy Spirit. Remember our giving to the nations, those we have sent and those that we have supported. We call out to you, God, today to remember our faithfulness here in this place. Year after year after year, we've stood here in this place. All of these people, Lord, your people, shining your light in the darkness.
Amen.
How many of you got need today?
Amen.
Remember our need, God, and meet them in the abundance of your love. Remember our heartbreak, oh God, and as your word promises, come and heal the brokenhearted.
Oh, yes.
Remember us. In your mercy and grace and our failings, Lord. Again, Lord, we're crying out to God to remember us in the face of our enemy, both within and without, both spiritual and physical. Praying that God would awaken the dream of the dreamer and bring that thing to pass.
Yes.
How many of you want to cry out to God today and say, God, remember your promise to us. Remember
Amen.
Your
Amen.
Children.
Amen.
Remember your people.
Amen.
Then let's stand as we close this service. Worship team, come on back and get ready. Just begin to pray out to him. You don't have to listen to me pray. Pray out to him and call out to him. Oh God, it's a new beginning. It's a new year on your calendar, God. Lord, it's time that we put you in remembrance of your promises,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, it is. It's time.
Lord, that you would make a way where there is no way, Lord. That you would cause rivers to spring up in the desert, oh God.
Yes.
Lord, that you would come and that you would wipe the old away and make all things new, Lord. Lord, that you would revive dreams, oh God. And that you would not just keep them as dreams, Lord, but that you would make them a reality, Lord. Lord, to those wayward sons and daughters who have fallen away, Lord, bring them back
Amen.
Into your house,
Come
oh God.
Yes.
Lord, to the lost, God. We pray that you will bring them in, Lord, supernaturally, Lord. Lord, that in this year, Lord, that your people here in this place, Lord, would be filled with your spirit, O God, and begin to proclaim the good news of your gospel, not in this house, Lord, but out in the streets. Lord, that you would remember the prophecy that said your sons and daughters would prophesy in the streets, O God. Oh, Lord, come, Lord. Let us feel your presence, oh, Lord. Lord, may we see your mighty, mighty, mighty hand, oh, God, moving in our midst, Lord. Oh, Lord, we worship you. Lord, we pray, Lord. Come, come, Lord, in your power. Come, Lord, in your presence. Lord, we ask these things in your holy, precious name. And everybody said,
amen, amen,
amen. Amen.
We'll see if I can do this again.
Yes. We blow the trumpet, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Let's worship the Lord one last time. Come on, let's sing it like you mean it this morning. Worship him.
Sing a song of celebration. Lift up a shout of praise, for the bridegroom will come. The glorious one at the door. We will look on his face. We'll go to a much better place. Well, dance with all your might. Lift up your hands and clap for joy, for the time's drawing near. He will appear at the door. We will stand by his side, a strong, pure, spotless bride.